Welcome to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. Journey with us as we discuss the life of a gentleman and how we can gain more respect and confidence with lessons in life, etiquette, and personal style. Each week, we will bring engaging discussions, thought-provoking interviews, and tips on upgrading your personal style. We are all a work in progress. Let's take this journey together. Let's live the life of a gentleman. Welcome to the Life of a Gentleman podcast for another exciting episode. I'm Richard Taylor, your host, and I'd like to personally thank you for listening today and taking this journey with us as we strive to make continual progress in living the life of a gentleman. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, Charles. Charles, how's it going today?
Oh, it's going well. How are you doing today there, Richard?
I'm doing pretty good. I can't complain. Unfortunately, we're not together today. I'm out of town on some business, and we still wanted to deliver a podcast, so thanks for joining me over the phone today, and thank you listeners for tuning in for another episode of The Life of a Gentleman.
Oh, yes, I'm ready for today. This is a follow-up, a part two, as you would say, from last week about the proper suit fit. Now, last week we talked about your jacket. What are we going to talk about today?
Well, today I think we can talk about the pants because that's going to be a very noticeable part of the suit as well. And there's a lot of good points that you can glean from talking about it and maybe some things that you already know, but hopefully some good reminders and hopefully you learn a thing or two.
Yeah, and this is very important. But it kind of, when I think about the proper pants length, it kind of takes me back to when I was a child and it was a TV show on Pee Wee Herman. Now, hear me out. He was known for these tight suits and the high water pants that came almost up to his calf, and it was a joke, and everybody would laugh because it was not the proper suit fit. But if we look at his example then and now, what do we see?
Well, we see what not to do, for definitely. Hopefully what we learned today are some things that will keep you looking not like Pee Wee Herman, as you mentioned, but as a classic gentleman. So why don't we start?
Yes.
Yeah, why don't we just kind of dive into this and talk about the waist and the seat of the pants? Because a lot of people today, as we mentioned, will buy a suit that's way too big. And if you think it looks bad when you're talking about the jacket, imagine some baggy dress pants. Now that really looks horrible.
Yes, it goes more than your jacket, because your jacket, people think, oh, well, the jacket can just cover up the pants, and it's no problem that my pants does not fit properly because I just can have my jacket. But that is not the case, because if your pants doesn't fit properly, then your jacket doesn't fit properly also too.
Yeah, good point. You know, the thing about a suit pant is it's not supposed to fit the same way that jeans fit. It's actually supposed to be a little different. You see, suit pants should fit perfectly around your waist, and you really don't need a belt to hold them up, but kind of just to secure them there. And the thing about the suit pants also, they're supposed to sit up a little bit higher on your hip bone, as opposed to jeans, which sit a little bit lower. And the thing we're mentioning is, you don't want to be sagging in dress pants. That's a big, definite no-no.
Yeah, that's a no-no. That is a great point. Jeans, we know we have the different style of jeans. Now they have some low riders. They have hip huggers that go high, they go low, they go midway. But as we're learning and as we're becoming gentlemen, even if we may have a suit, we may need to reevaluate how our pants are fitting for us, because it's not about what we have now, but it's the progression that we're making. So when we're talking about this proper fit, we're talking about that it's at the natural waistline, which is just a little bit higher, a little bit more form-fitting, and so that, like you said, it's not falling down. You don't need a belt, but you definitely should wear a belt with your dress pants.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, everything you're saying. The thing is, now if you have a size of a suit and for some reason you're just at that in-between weight or size, that doesn't mean you can't buy it. Remember last week when we talked about taking it to the tailor?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, here's another chance for the tailor to kind of work their magic, because the tailor can take in that extra fabric and make it comfortable in your seat area. The thing that you don't want, as we mentioned, is too baggy in the seat, but also at the same time, you don't want it too tight in the seat. It's going to look strange. It's going to be unsightly. And actually, it's going to probably be uncomfortable. It's kind of like having a wedgie, and I don't think anyone wants that.
No, it's that man wedge. You ever see the men walking, and then they right in the thigh area, it starts to ride up in the front, and it forms like a bunch of little V's in there. The man wedgie is definitely not attractive, and it's not gentlemanly.
Not at all. In fact, here's a little tip. I learned this from a tailor. If you want to make sure that the suit is fitting well, your pants, that is, you want to be able to pinch about 1 inch of fabric on either side of your thigh. Now, if you can't pinch that, then your pants are probably too tight. And if you're pinching more than that, say a couple inches on each side of your thigh, that's not good either. You're going to have a tailor take those in. We don't want to go to extremes. You kind of want a streamlined look. Not too baggy, not too tight, as we've discussed in past episodes as well.
Yes, because getting it just right is the key. And as we talked about, that we are numbers and we're not letters. So when we go to the store, we might not find that exact fit, because if it fits up on the top, it might not fit at the bottom. If it fits at the bottom, it might not fit at the top. If you have a jacket that fits you very well, then the pants may have to be a little bit bigger. But with the tailor is your best friend. When you go to the tailor, they put you there, and the tip that you had last week was very invaluable. You said, wear your dress shoes when you're going to the tailor also, too. And especially when you're getting your pants done. And the tailor, they get you, they measure you, they put a pinch either in the back to make sure that it fits right along that waistline, and they get everything perfect for you. So now you have that custom feel and that custom look that you've been wanting, or that you've been searching for, just by going to a tailor.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And another thing that a tailor can do, if the pants are not to your liking, they can actually do a slight taper so that the pants get a little bit narrower as you go down towards the ankle. That gives a more polished and modern look. We don't want to have the appearance that we're wearing bell bottoms, you know, or a leisure suit, something like that from the 70s. That look is outdated. You definitely want to have the pants tapering down towards the bottom.
Yes, as we said, we're always getting classy and classic, so that classic look. But here's a question. To cuff or not to cuff? What is your answer?
Me personally, I choose not to cuff. But then again, some of that is based on my personal style preference, but also your height can play a little bit into that. Cuffs can give different illusions on different height of men. It can actually sometimes make you look shorter or stockier, and sometimes it can make you look taller. Now, I personally choose the no cuff just because of it's more classic in nature. And I'm also about 6 feet tall. So there's really no need for me, in my opinion, to have the cuff. But some people like it. It does oftentimes add a classier look. How do you feel about the cuff?
Well, for me, I use the cuff on my pants. I love the cuff. The cuff, for me, it gave a little bit more weight at the bottom, because I'm shorter in stature. But with that little weight at the bottom, my pants would never rise up, and it would fit perfectly at my shoe. And I like that look for me then. But as I'm getting a little bit older, I'm getting a little bit more streamlined, because when I talk about then, I talked about the fashion. I had the big 2-inch cuffs on the bottom, and it definitely wasn't a classic look. But it is kind of streamlined. So now, if I do get a cuff, I'll get a 1-inch cuff. But for me, I like the way that it hangs, because it makes everything uniform, and it brings the streamline down to my shoe.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And as you can see, Charles likes the cuff. I opt not to have it. And there's no right or wrong answer here. So whatever you decide or whatever you feel looks best for you, feel free to go with that. Here's a little tip that also I learned from a tailor. Sometimes what you can do is you can have the pants a little bit longer, slightly longer in the back. That way when you're walking, it's going to show less sock. And then when you're standing still, you're still going to have the break that you want in the front. But in the back, it's going to hang a little bit over the back of your shoe. Because sometimes, I don't know if you've noticed or had this experience, sometimes when you don't have a cuff, the fabric will get caught up on the inside of your shoe or kind of rub up against that. And it just kind of feels weird. It looks weird. But this is just a slight change the tailor can make that can make all the difference and eliminate any aggravation as you're walking around throughout the day.
Yes, and as we were talking about last week, we're talking about your first suit. So if this is your first suit, all of these things can be taken into consideration. If you have mini suits, is this the proper way that you're wearing your suit? Now, there's no hard rules, like Richard said, that he doesn't like the cuff, I like the cuff. There's no hard rules, but there are a lot of good tips to make your first suit, to make your suit work for you and make them look great and make them last.
Yeah, I kind of enjoyed this discussion today, Charles. How'd you feel about it?
Oh, man, this was a great discussion. I know that we can go further on this, but time permits, we're going to stop here.
We'll definitely get into this a little bit deeper in the future. Once again, thanks for joining me on the line today. And at this time, let's get into our interview. But before we do that, we want to thank the audience once again for being listeners and invite them to download the free book, The Life of a Gentleman, by visiting harrisonblakeapparel.com, going to the blog, and downloading your free audio or ebook version. And also, we would like to encourage you, if you could rate, review, and subscribe to The Life of a Gentleman, this would really help us to spread this message to others that would be interested in learning more about living the life of a gentleman. And now, let's get into our interview.
And now it's time for this week's segment of The Gentleman's News. Exclusive interviews with exceptional people discussing all things gentleman, from business to fashion to lifestyle, industry leaders, authors, and more. This is The Gentleman's News.
Welcome everyone to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. This week, we have a special interview with a special guest. And also, I want to let everybody know that Dennis Stiles will be sitting in with me on this interview. Before we get into it, let me whet your appetite and tell you a little bit about who we have coming on. We will be interviewing Stephen Lopez. He is the founder of StephenLopezFitness.com. I'm going to just invite him on and let him tell us a little bit more about what he does, because there's a lot of different exciting things that he has in store, but we're going to kind of reveal those as the interview goes on. Stephen, are you there on the line with us?
I'm here, Richard. Thank you for having me so much.
It's great to have you on. I have to tell you, Dennis first turned us on to you and your Instagram account, because it's so much different from a lot of other fitness accounts that are out there. And really, on your account, we were able to see that you really embodied the life of a gentleman, and you seem to be a real family-oriented person. Is that true?
That most definitely true. I tell people it's always family first. Kids are the next generation and the future. So, like, you know, the saying goes, it's easy to be a father, but it's even harder to be a dad. So it's definitely family first, and that's the reason why I'm here today.
Oh, that's beautiful to hear.
That's nice, man. Hey, Steve, how are you, man?
I'm good, Dennis.
All right. Nice to meet you, man. Thanks for coming on. Yeah, right, man. I have a question for you here. Now, I saw it in your bio. You're a Coast Guard, right?
Yep, I'm 14 years active duty strong so far in the Coast Guard. I joined when I was 18 years old and young.
Wow. Now, let me ask you a question. A lot of kids, you know, they have a tough decision after high school. They either go to college or join the armed forces. How do you think that's helped you evolve as the man that you are today, both professionally and family?
So, being 18 years old,
You know what I mean? It's definitely a tough decision after high school because you don't know what's next. You know what I mean? Like you said, there's only a few options available to you. So most people either go to school, work full time, or you know, they join the military. For me, I've always wanted to be a police officer, do something with law enforcement. So the Coast Guard for me was pretty much almost an easy decision. Military, my brother's in the Navy. So military for me was definitely an option. So what's developed me as a man is military teaches you discipline, teaches you family, teaches you, you know, the core values of the Coast Guard, the honor, respect, and devotion to duty. So for me, I apply that both to my professional, my family, and my spiritual life. And it's definitely, you know, God has blessed me with a beautiful family, with a beautiful life. And I think with those core values, both professional and in my personal life, it's just going to keep providing more blessings in my life.
Oh, that's awesome, Steve. I can see how that's worked out well for you, man.
It seems like you weave in to your family life and your professional life almost seamlessly. And it seems like everything you do, there's a purpose behind it. I'm wondering, how did you find the time to get so heavy into fitness when you have so many other responsibilities?
Oh, man. I think if anybody, you know, talks to me in person, because, you know, a lot of times they don't reach out to me via social media. However, when I go to these expos, that's pretty much the number one question I always get asked is, how I'm able to find a balance, how I'm able to juggle everything. And I'll be completely honest, it's very hard. It's very difficult, and I'm still evolving. I'm still learning on a daily basis. However, as I mentioned previously in the interview, that my wife, my backbone, my rib, she is my supporter. And without her, once again, no way possible I'm able to do what I have to do. So for me, you know, she's able to do what she has to do with the family and the kids, and I'm able to work, be a provider. And so one of the things I've done is developed a routine. For me, the routine is waking up at 3:30 in the morning at the crack of dawn, wipe the crust out of my eyes, make my shakes, make my coffee, and go straight to the gym, get there by 4:35 a.m., get my workout in, take a shower, and go straight to work, work till 5 o'clock, come home, and that's my family time. So it's all about developing a routine. A routine becomes a habit becomes a lifestyle, a lifestyle. So once you become passionate about something, you get motivated, and that motivation to see progress and to be the best you can be at what you want to do in life, that's my motivation, and that's why I'm able to do what I do now. It's, you know, I've developed it into a lifestyle. It's not a hobby no more. It's just what I do. It's life to me.
Yeah.
Fitness, helping others, like family is life.
Man,
that's awesome.
Yeah, that is some serious dedication. Now, this is just going to be kind of a curious follow-up question. If you're getting up at 3:30 in the morning, what time do you go to bed?
To be honest with you, I'll be lucky to get 4 to 5 hours of sleep a night, to be honest with you. There's some days I might go to bed at 11, 12 o'clock. There's some days I might go to bed 8 or 9. To be honest with you, completely honest with you, my wife kind of tells her what time I can go to bed. If she wants to stay up and watch a movie, we stay up and watch a movie, you know. As long as I can try to stay up, I'll be honest. Some days my body's just telling me you need to go to sleep, and I fall asleep or whatever. But on the weekends, it's kind of like our family time. So, you know, going back to the original question is, you know, we have Monday through Friday where I work out, and on the weekends, that's straight family time. There's no gym. If I do get it in, I have a treadmill at home that I'll do some cardio, or if we go to the park, you know, we'll go to the playground, I'll do some pull-ups and push-ups, or, you know, do some cardio outside. So it's developing, trying to find, once again, a routine or a way to put fitness into your life. So it's not just fitness, career, family life. It's all molded into one. That's kind of what I've done. I've made it almost like a you know, person that does pottery, and took the clay and molded it into something beautiful. Well, for me, you know, my life is beautiful. I'm blessed, and not all days are sunshine. However, I'm happy where I'm at now, and I'm content. So definitely it's easier said than done some days, but it's getting easier as the days go by.
Oh, that's amazing. Now, Steve, we touched a little bit on your family life. Let's break down now the professional side of you.
break down for our listeners some of the competitions you participate in and who are some of the sponsors that you are currently working with.
So back in 2014, my first competition was back in 2009 or 10, so far back, but, and then I took a hiatus. I stopped basically competing, and I was just kind of, you know, in and out of the fitness scene. And then I returned to the bodybuilding stage in 2014. I competed in both the NGA, both IMBA, both natural organizations. And then 2015, I competed in the NPC. I made it all the way to the North Americans, IFBB North Americans, which is a national show. I placed fourth out of 32 guys, so I was two spots away from turning pro.
Wow.
Now, remind you, this is me doing my own contest prep. This is no coach. This is no trainer. This is all my own experience over the past 11 years of trial and error and me learning how my body reacts and adapts to certain things. I was able to make it that far. So that was definitely the highlight of my year. And then for this year, I plan to compete, you know, next month and definitely try to turn pro. And as far as my sponsors go, so the reason, another question I always get asked is, how did I make it on teambodybuilding.com? Such a prestigious thing in the fitness industry because they're huge. They're a huge sponsor.
Right.
So I was able to enter the Body Space spokesmodel search. Out of thousands and thousands of entries, I actually made it as a top five finalist in 2015. And I placed third. So I beat thousands of people and ended up placing third place. And they ended up signing the top five finalists to be on the team. This is my second year with them. They've been amazing. They treated me so well. And it's opened doors to other things in my fitness career. So it was definitely a stepping stone milestone. However, it didn't come till after 9 years of me dedicating, you know, blood, sweat, and tears to fitness. So a lot of people get frustrated. Why am I not sponsored? Why is this not happening? Why is that not happening? But I tell these young guys to just be dedicated, motivated, and focus on you. Focus on what you want to do and focus being the best at what you can do. So that's got me my sponsorship with EAS Sports Nutrition. They've treated me well, too. This is my first year with them. So once again, after 9 years of me being dedicated to this lifestyle, that's when the doors started opening for me and things started happening. So I'm glad I'm able to have a voice. I have a decent, you know, a decent following on social media. So I use it more of a platform of not of, you know, hey, look at me, look what I'm doing. I want positive reinforcement, blah, blah, narcissistic person. No, I use it to more of a platform of, as you said, you know, it's not just your normal fitness page. I try to put family, I try to put professional, and I try to put fitness on there and give tips, free advice to try to tell people that, hey, you know, if you want to do something, I'm living proof that you can do it.
Man, that's amazing, that journey that you've been on. It took you 9 years to be an overnight success, you could say, right?
Man. Yeah, exactly. You know how it is. People just see the good, and they're like, oh, you're so lucky, and you're so that. I was like, but you don't see the behind the scenes that it took for me to get that. So that's kind of why I just, you know, I take it with a grain of salt. It's just, you know, the nature of the beast or whatever, as they say, But yeah, it's been a great experience so far with both of the companies, and I feel, you know, it's a win-win situation, so.
Can we ask you, since we're talking about fitness, what kind of tips would you give to average Joes out there that are listening, that are just beginning their fitness journey? Maybe they want to just kind of tone up or drop maybe 10 to 20 pounds just to kind of get in shape. What advice would you give?
The biggest advice I would say is make small changes. Small changes will lead into bigger changes. Bigger changes will lead into that routine, and the routine will lead into that lifestyle. A lot of people get caught up with these fad diets, with these liquid diets, with these, you know, with these crazy things you read online or, you know, you talk to other people. And yeah, it might work for a month. It might work for a few weeks. It might work for however long you're really going to basically put yourself through murder for your body. You might see results,
But however, what's going to happen after you're done, you're going to say, forget this, and you're going to regain all the weight back, you're going to rebound, and might get even more weight, and that's just going to put you further behind, more depressed, and more frustrated, and you're just going to say, forget fitness, I don't want to do it. So my biggest advice I would tell people is start with small changes first, develop a routine for you that you're going to adhere to, meal prep. Especially when it comes to a diet, if you have your meals prepared for you, that's half of the struggle right there. Because a lot of the times, you know, people want to eat healthy, however, they don't have a meal already prepared for them. So what happens? They're only surrounded by McDonald's, a Taco Bell, all these fast food places. Yeah, so it's a lot easier for them to say, oh, well, I'm just going to eat this, I'm going to eat that. So if you have your meals prepared with a lunch box, I use a 6-pack bag myself. So I have, you know, my meals prepared for work the night before. So that would be, one of my advice for someone is start with small change, meal prep, and definitely follow a good routine. Follow something that's going to challenge you and motivate you. And if you can work out with somebody that's on the same level or the same motivational goals that you have, that's even better. You guys can push each other. And when one person is depressed or down or doesn't want to do it, that's where the other one comes in hand and vice versa. So those are a few tips that I would definitely give to someone that's starting out.
You have to have discipline, man. It's so important.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely, it's easy. It's easy to stray away. And you know, for me, there's been plenty of times where I've fallen off the wagon. I'll be honest with you. It's human nature. It's reality. Things become more important in your life. And you kind of prioritize in your own way and say, okay, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. There was plenty of times where I put fitness on the back burner and I was just kind of doing what I wanted, but it's not so much falling off, it's always what's the next decision after you fall off that's the most important.
Oh, awesome. Now, let me ask you a question, Steve. Personal question. What is the hardest part of your body to work out? Me personally, I would like to know this. How many times should you work out a particular part of your body a week to see any changes and any growth as far as your muscles?
So I would say depending on your goals. So for example, if you were looking to lose weight, you can get on a routine that's 3 to 5 days a week. I've been a big advocate for one muscle group a day. So I would do like Monday chest, Tuesday back, Wednesday shoulders, Thursday arms, and then Friday legs. That was a 5-day split. So for someone that wants to gain muscle, if you're doing a split like that, you would actually, increase your calories, increase your protein intake. I tell people anywhere from 1 to 1.2 grams of protein per pound of body weight is really all you need to sustain that workout and to grow. And then, add in your carbs and your fats after that. But if you're looking to lose weight, diet is a major key. So it's not so much how many times, a lot of people think, oh, if I work out my abs 5 days a week, I'm magically going to see abs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, that's where the saying comes in of, abs are made in the kitchen. It's 50-50, You can build up abs in the gym, but to visibly see them, you have to be at a certain lean body fat percentage. So that's where diet comes into play. So I tell people, diet is the number one thing. If you want to cut down or lose body fat, even to gain muscle, you have to have your diet in check. But more so people that are trying to lose weight or lose fat, I say. Because what happens is diet is like the fast car, and then working out is like your turbo and nitrous. It's going to happen even faster. You can lose weight by just dieting. You technically don't have to work out. Working out, there's a lot more benefits that I tell people to include diet and your workout, cardio health, heart health, things of that nature as far as benefiting you wise. But people think, oh, I can eat what I want, but I'm working out, so I'm going to be able to see, lose weight, or lose fat. It's not the way it goes. So that's why people get frustrated or turn their wheels and say, I'm not seeing progress. The number one thing I tell them is, write me a journal what you eat in a 7-day period. Oh my gosh, I've talked to hundreds of people that swear they're eating right. I swear I eat good. I swear I do this. And then I look at the journal, I'm like, all right, let's calculate this up. And they're like, 4,000 or 5,000 calories a day. And they're like, oh my God, I didn't know I was eating that much. You know what I mean? So,
wow.
Yeah, things of that nature. Eating, make sure you're eating your meals, because what happens is a lot of people like to skip breakfast. They get so busy at work, they like to skip lunch or eat a small lunch. And then what happens is they come home, they're starving, so eat this carb-heavy dinner. And it's like, okay, you know what I mean? You're going to eat this big carb-heavy meal or whatever meal you want to eat, and then you're just going to pretty much plop on the couch or go to sleep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the trouble part with people. So I tell them, if you eat small meals throughout the day, meal frequency is not as important. What I tell people is it's all about getting enough meals in so where you feel satisfied and you're not going to binge eat. That's the problem. A lot of people get to dinner and they just want to binge eat, is what I say. So that's, you know, a couple of tips that I would say as far as working out and trying to lose weight or gain muscle.
So let's say, you know, for example, you know, I'm tired of eating vegetables, grilled chicken at home. Let's say if I want to go out to dinner and maybe have a drink, is that something that you could do once a week? You know how people say, oh, let's have a cheat meal. Do you believe in cheat meals?
So it's cheat meals is, people call them cheat meals. It's technically, I call them like a refeed day, basically. And all that is say you stick to your diet for 6 days a week. It is beneficial. And what it is just, I say it's a mental thing. Because when you allow somebody to be relaxed for a day or for a couple meals, it recharges them. And it tells them, okay, you know what I mean? If I stay strict to my diet 6 days a week, I have this nice, you know, pizza, or I have this nice cake, or I have this nice dinner with the family and some, you know, wine afterwards waiting for me. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it does have its benefit. It does have its place. However, you have to monitor it, because it can lead to, you know, a slippery slope on you want to keep eating, because you're going to stimulate the mental hormone, the endorphins in your brain, and you're going to say, okay, I want to eat more. I want to eat more. I want more cookies. I want more cake. I want more this. I want more that. So I tell people, cheat meals, refeed meals, however you want to word it, is more of a mental thing for the person. It does have its place. It's like, say, if you're on a low-carb diet, you have a high-carb day, so you include a cheat meal on there. So it's definitely to stimulate your thyroid gland, to re-stimulate your metabolism. So things of that nature, that's where carbs come into play. So cheat meals do have their place. It's how you deal with the other 6 days. If a cheat meal is really going to benefit you or not. Because if you're cheating on your diet the other 6 days, it's not really a cheat meal. It was just part of your diet. You know what I mean? So that's my thought process behind that.
Well, we can tell by listening to you speak that you have so much knowledge in this. And also, we know you've helped hundreds of people become healthier and live a better lifestyle. So could you do us a favor? If somebody out there wants to get in touch with you and would like to learn more, can you at this time give us all of your information, your website, how we can follow you on social media, so that those that are interested can continue to learn from you and maybe get in touch with you for a little bit more assistance?
Yeah, most definitely. So my Instagram is Steven Lopez CG. My YouTube is also under the same name, Steven Lopez CG. My Facebook is Steven Lopez Official. And my website information is www.stevenlopezfitness.com. Also, one of the things that I wanted to touch on real quick, I hope we have some time real quick, but one of the things that I kind of want to tell people is that no matter what's going on in their lives, no matter what adversity, what obstacles they got going on, they have to find their why they started. For me, you know, I was involved in a motorcycle accident back in 2005 that left my right arm severely damaged. Like, I have 2 plates and 50 screws in that right arm.
Wow.
I was able to work out. I was able to make it stronger and come back stronger. So I try to use that story to tell people, like, hey, look, no matter what devastating injury, whether it's spiritual, whether it's personal, whether it's career, that devastating injury, don't let it knock you out. You know what I mean? It's all about what you do afterwards that's going to make you. So I tell people, there's a saying that someone told me one time, is the measure of a man is not what he does when things are going right, but it's when he's faced with adversity, that's going to be the measure of a man. It's what's going to be his next decision. So for me, that's always kind of stayed with me in my life. And like, no matter how many times I got knocked down, no matter how many, you know, I've been involved in 4 motorcycle accidents, totaled 3 of them. So I don't ride anymore. I'll
yeah.
plug that in there.
Okay.
Yeah, please. Don't. but you know, I want to tell people, like, hey, look, you know, I'm not just some 18-year-old that lives in my mom's basement that doesn't have nothing going on. I understand what it is to have a family. I understand what it is to have a career. I understand what it is to be busy in life and to be knocked down. So if anything, I can tell people, the listeners, is that just find your motivation, find your why, and be the best at what you want to be in life, no matter what it is. Just go out, give it 110%, and I tell my wife, you know what I mean, if I can lay down my head at night and say I've done all I could done today, then that was a successful day for me. So I definitely wanted to plug that in there.
Man, thanks for sharing that with us. We really do appreciate it. And, you know, we want to thank you. Yeah, we want to thank you just for coming on today. I think, Dennis, how do you feel? I mean, I think we learned so much.
Yeah, man. I mean, you're not only an inspiration, but you're a great family man, a gentleman, and a driven person that lives the gentleman lifestyle. So I want to thank you for coming on. Maybe later on we could have you on board again, if it's possible, and share more tips with the audience.
Of course. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you you all having me. And it's a great way for me to share my story. And, you know, there's only so much people can capture via pictures on Instagram or things like that. So, you know, me giving me a voice to be able to reach out to your listeners and stuff of that nature, I really appreciate it. And it means a lot to the bottom of my heart. So shout out to my sponsors, Bodybuild.com and EAS Smileflex. They definitely have opened the doors and paved the way. So shout out to them, and shout out to you guys. You guys are doing an awesome thing. Keep these podcasts going, because there's many lives that you can touch with these podcasts.
Hey, thank you for those kind words. Yeah, we really appreciate that, Steven. And we definitely like to have you on again in the future. So once again, thanks for coming on The Life of a Gentleman, and we'll talk to you soon.
Here's a brief word from our sponsor. This podcast has been brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel. Visit them online for a great selection of neckties, pocket squares, and menswear accessories. Want to really step up your style? Join their monthly subscription club. For $25 per month, you'll receive 1 necktie plus 4 additional matching accessories. And now it's time for the segment we like to call The Gentleman's Look. A look into fashion, style, and accessories. This is The Gentleman's Look.
Well, everyone, welcome back to The Life of a Gentleman. And once again, we are joined this week by our resident stylist. Dennis Styles is on the line. Dennis, how's it going today?
Pretty good, guys. It's nice to record again. And the subject for today is going to be very interesting for our audience. So I say let's get to it. Well, we're going to talk about floral, meaning floral ties and bow ties. It's a trend that's very heavy right now. It's very summer. And, you know, one thing about floral ties that I like is they could be worn casually and dressed up. A lot of people think that you could just wear it on weddings, but I see a lot of it being styled on an everyday basis. The reason for that is because all floral ties, most of them are skinny, which they should be sanitized.
Now, when we're talking about floral ties, give a description of the floral ties, because sometimes ties are just flowers. Are those considered floral, or what is considered a floral tie?
Yeah, floral tie means they have some semblance of floral in it. Now, it doesn't have to be a bunch of flowers. It could be patched up and a little bit on the top, a little bit in the middle, a little bit blended in with nice colors. You have to let it stand out on its own, and it can't be worn with too much dark. Me, I personally like it with blue, light blue, khaki, even white blazers. Have fun with it, pretty much.
Yeah, you're right. It's not really a formal piece, but like you said, it's just perfect for the summertime. I mean, that's when you pull those things out, right, Dennis?
Yes, sir. There's a few tips that I want to talk about as far as the floral ties. It's very important. It must be about 2.5 inches in width and 56.5 in length. The reason for that is, remember, it draws a lot of attention. There's a lot of floral. A lot of guys get scared. Like, I'm not going to wear florals. My friends are going to make fun of me. What am I doing wearing flowers?
grandma. But if you do it right, I think it's a great trend. It stands out on its own. And that's the reason why I don't want it to be too thick. Picture this, guy. Nobody wants a thick 3.5 to 4 inch floral tie.
No.
Yeah. Well, whenever I think about floral ties, it's just fun. It just seems like there's something fun to wear, something fun to have. Now here's the question now. Does this translate into bow ties, or how does bow ties, or can you wear a floral bow tie?
I enjoy a floral bow tie. I mean, I don't know why, but I want to wear it more than a regular bow tie. It's just me. I just like the concept of it, the way it lays on you, with a khaki blazer, some light-colored denim. It's amazing. Rich, let me ask you a question. I saw on your website that you carry a lot of floral in your Harrison Blake collection. Explain that to me, please.
Yeah, definitely. Right from the outset with Harrison Blake, we've had a lot of floral for the past couple years. And the thing about it is, the customers, they can't get enough. They want more floral. So I'm happy to announce that we do have some new patterns in within the last week. And the beautiful thing is, we have some that are really loud and bold, and then we have some more subtle colors as well. Like you mentioned, they're perfect for weddings. Here's the real gem, $20 or less on our website with free shipping. What do you think about that?
Wow.
That's amazing. You can't get that in any department store, my friend.
Yeah, that sounds like a very great, incredible deal. And I have seen the new floral ties. They are amazing. You guys are doing a great job with the website. Now, let me ask you too, Rich, just with the floral ties, it doesn't stop there. You have floral bow ties and floral pocket squares also too, right?
Sure. Like Dennis said, floral is really in right now. And when it's done well, man, it makes a huge impact. I tell you what, the first time you wear a floral tie, I'm going to guarantee you, you're going to receive a lot of compliments that day, more than normal. And so like Dennis, when you said a lot of guys are scared to wear the floral, don't be scared, fellas. I'm telling you, Dennis, tell them, you're going to get compliments, aren't they?
Oh, yes, you are, man. You're going to stand out immediately. Now, the key, no pocket square floral matching your tie floral. It's one or the other. What you could do to style, the easiest way to style a bow tie, a floral bow tie, is pick a color that's in the floral bow tie.
Yes.
Maybe it has a little bit of blue, has a little bit of red, and you touch it up with a little hanky, a plain color hanky, maybe with the colored tips on it. Like, I think I've seen a few of them on your website, Rich. Those complement perfectly. Another don't is, I don't know, it's just me. I don't want to wear a floral pin either, man. What do you think, Rich?
Did you say a pin with the floral?
Yeah, that's another no-no.
Yeah, it can be a bit much. I mean, you're already doing the flowers on the tie. I know, I'm not going to say, you know, it's fashion. There's no rules. I've seen it work, Dennis. Yes. I've seen it work.
Okay.
But like you said, it's got to be the right suit. I mean, you can't have too much going on.
The only way that it will work, as you said, Dennis, with your tip, is if it's a solid color and it's a primary color within the floral. That's the only way that will work. But if you try to get patterns on your lapel pin, then that doesn't work with the floral. So here's a question, though, Dennis, for you, too. Now, in the wintertime, can floral work in the wintertime, or is it just a summer look?
Nah, it works. It works in the fall. It works in the winter. How you make it work is very simple. You have to layer it with tweed. Break up the cotton, mix it in with tweed. Wear it a little bit heavier so it doesn't seem like you're going... Now, you're still stuck in the summer, and the season has passed you. Mix it in with some winter stuff, and you should be fine. I like it with a V-neck sweater, just to have a little bit of the floral pop in between your neck and your, you know, where the V, for the V-neck lies. I think that might work. What do you think, Rich?
Oh, yeah, that's definitely a good look, like you said, with the sweater or a vest, and then layering it with a heavier sports coat. That way, not so much of it showing, and it's not doesn't seem strange or out of season. But then also, too, there's some floral colors in the fall and winter, more like earth tones rather than pastel colors that work really well. And so you're still able to carry out the floral, but maybe you're having a grays or browns, oranges, greens. So some earth tones that kind of a little bit muted down, but still look great, like you said, even with a dark denim jacket in the fall or winter, as opposed to a light denim in the summer.
Oh, I like that. I like that. Dark navy jacket. That's perfect, man. Great tip. Great tip.
Yeah, and that's the beauty about floral, is that you have all of these rich and vibrant colors. So as the seasons change, your tie that you have, the same tie, it may be able to change with the seasons also too. So adding to your collection, you can see how having a few ties or having a lot of the patterns, it can change with the seasons by just highlighting a key or a few aspects of those colors that's in dress.
I agree with you. Now, another key component of the floral is, for me, I must be 100% cotton. Now, let me ask you, Rich, the floral ties and bow ties that you carry, are most of them 100% cotton?
Dennis, you're exactly right. All of them are 100% cotton. It's really hard to pull off that floral pattern on a different type of fabric. The cotton is soft. It's earthy, you know, to the touch, on the eyes. It's easy on the eyes. You can't really go wrong with 100% cotton on the ties. It's a perfect look in the fall, spring, summer. Like you said, even in the winter, you can do floral all year round, but just make sure it's 100% cotton.
I agree. And another thing too, get yourself a couple of nice white, crisp white shirts, because they're perfect for that, man. White shirts.
Great tip. Yeah. Great tip.
Is there any other tips that you have for us there, Dennis? Because we have enjoyed this discussion.
Well, you know, take the blazer off, you know, and, you know, have fun with the floral tie, you know. Roll up the sleeves, wear it nicely. Make sure you have a nice pair of khakis or trousers. Have fun with it, you know. It's a relaxed look, but at the same time, it's a dressy look. And don't be afraid to stand out, because all of us know, guys, you remember the first time you actually wore a floral tie, and how scared were you to actually wear that floral tie all the time?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right, Dennis.
Once you wore it, you were good. After that first time you walked out, and everybody loved it, saying compliment, hey, where'd you get that tie from, man? That looks good. And after that, it's all good.
It's good to go.
Thanks for this discussion, and thanks for joining me on the line today, Dennis and Charles, of course. We're going to come back next week and have another exciting topic. I think the audience is really going to enjoy the topic that we have set up for next week. So, Dennis, thanks again for coming on, and we enjoyed this segment that we call The Gentleman's Look. And until next time, take care, guys.
Take care.
Thank you.
Well, gentlemen, that wraps up another episode of the Life of a Gentleman podcast for this week. I really enjoyed the discussion we had at the outset, talking about the proper suit fit, and especially focusing on the trousers, making sure your pants are the proper fit so that you have a clean, crisp look. Also, thank you to Stephen Lopez, who came in and gave us so much good information and also inspiration about getting in shape and the importance of physical fitness. Congratulations to him for his achievements, and we look forward to having him on in the future to hear more inspiring stories. And also, thanks to Dennis Stiles, who came on and talked about floral. Floral is such a hot pattern, especially this time of year. So we appreciate the tips that we learned from Dennis, and the discussion was fun as well. We hope that you tune in next week and learn some things that are new, exciting, and perhaps just some good reminders. But most importantly, we want to thank you, the listening audience, for tuning in to our podcast. And if you have any questions or would like to be featured, please reach out to us. You can email us at podcast@harrisonblakeapparel.com. We'd be more than happy to have you on the show, answer any questions you may have, or connect in any other way. Until next time, take care.
These messages are brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel, specializing in fashion accessories such as ties and lapel pins. Join the Harrison Blake Monthly Subscription Club. Each month, they deliver one necktie plus
4 additional matching accessories for only $25. This is the easy way to build or enhance your wardrobe. To learn more and subscribe, visit HarrisonBlakeApparel.com. These messages are also brought to you by DeAndra Marie, a young, talented female host who conducts interviews, event coverage, and produces the Life of a Gentleman podcast. For inquiries on how to be featured, please visit www.itsdeandramarie.com.